Should I still do a clap? We don't have anything to line up, but I guess I'll still do a clap. Okay. Should I tell you guys what we're talking about, or should I make you? I'm going to try to make you guess. Okay, so this was an experiment. The Economist subscription. So this actually wasn't an experiment, but this was a real world thing that happened, and Dr. Dan Ariely saw it and was like wondering about it. So, okay. Well, actually, okay. It was based off of The Economist. So it did become an experiment later. So participants were shown three subscription offers for The Economist, the newsletter. Web-only subscription for $59. Print-only for $125. Or print and web combo, so both of them, for $125.
So say the prices again. What's the last one? Was it highest?
Yeah, web only. So you only get it through the web. You don't get the print version. That's $59. Print only. So you don't get it on the web, but you get the paper sent to you. That's $125. Or print and web combo for $125.
Oh.
I see. So there's no differentiation in price.
Yeah, so what do you think what people chose?
The high dollar one.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. 84% of people chose the combo, print and web. 16% chose web only, and 0 chose print only.
<'Cause>, that would make sense.
Yeah. So what happens if you remove the print only? Okay, so you remove it. So now, instead of it being web only $59, print only for $125, or print and web for $125, you remove print only. So it's now web only $59, or print and web for $125.
People are just going to choose web.
Yeah, I would say that the percentage distribution would almost reverse.
Yeah, that's smart. They made a ton of money doing it like that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So 68% of people are like, well, I'm just going to get
the
web.
They didn't even want the print version, but they were paying for it with the print and web.
Yeah.
Even though nobody really wanted the print edition.
So what this is this is called the decoy effect, right? So the decoy effect is also known as asymmetric dominance or the attraction effect. It's a bias where the presence of a third strategically worse option can influence your preference between two others. So it's an option that nobody's going to ever pick, but it sways what people actually do end up picking. Mm. It sways which option is the better option. So
it sounds like McDonald's does that with all of their options, though.
Dude, like they're everyone
all bad
does
options.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
So that somebody will pick the least of the bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one's going to make me the least tubbiest, right? So it's an effect of choice architecture. The way choices are presented can manipulate perception and influence decisions. So that's kind of interesting. So the implications are we're more susceptible to influence than we think, even when we're given rational choices. Our brains anchor to comparison. Like, we're always anchoring to, okay, what's the best option here? And we're using the options that we're not selecting as anchors to figure out what option we do want.
I'd also be curious as to what would happen if you only offered the two, which they did that test, and the differentiation will tell you which one they picked, but it doesn't tell you how many people didn't pick anything. So I wonder if the adding of the third option also gets you thinking it's not a yes or no, it's not a this or that, it's my mind is shifting away from which of these two to which of these three, which is a different way of thinking about things. So I wonder if it also increases the number of responses.
Yeah. Yeah, it could. And I know that Apple uses this, like, intentionally, apparently. allegedly they use this intentionally with like their dumbed down version, like their cheaper like SE version of their phone or whatever.
That's what I have.
Oh, you got the decoy.
Yeah, I did. I got the dumbed down version.
So the idea there is like people were saying like no one's going to pay $1,000 plus for a phone. And so they're like, they made the phone, they made one phone that's like slightly under $1,000. And then, you know, it's only like an extra $200 to get the one that has like double the specs. And it just feels like so much better of an option. And so they use that decoy to anchor you. Okay, this one's worth $950 and it has these features, but for twice as much, or you get twice as many of the features for only like 10% or 15% more cost.
Yeah. I think what that either reveals about my choice is either that I'm cheap or I'm stupid. One or the other. I'm not sure which one it is.
What does it actually reveal? Like maybe it doesn't, maybe we're reading too much into it.
Part of it was I looked at the other options and thought, those are cool. I don't need them and I won't use them. And yeah, and I also bought mine used. So that's more of the cheap side, I guess.
You know what? I think I do that too. Sometimes like when they're trying to get me where it's like you get two for only $2 more, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, but I don't need to, like I used to fall for that all the time, but I think I've gotten more frugal and I'm like, well, I know that this isn't as good of a deal, but I literally don't need the second one. And so I'll just save the $2.
Yep.
Yeah. You really are just getting the item that you wanted anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and you're getting it for cheaper than you would have if you bought both of them and got one you didn't need for more money.
That right? sits
and then
in
you'd
the
have
drawer.
To deal with whatever the extra thing you have. You have to find somewhere to put it and, you know.
Yeah, but I think it does make me feel awful inside. I'm just like, I walk away being like, oh, I'm just doing this thing and I'm not getting as good of a deal as I could. So I just like walk away getting exactly what I want and feel awful.
I know what you're talking about. Just recently, I was down at my daughter's house. She needed four batteries for for the door because of the system, you know, punching the buttons. And I went to the store and there's, you know, four batteries was $5 and eight batteries was $7. I'm like, wow, that's so much better. And then, you know, going up, you can get 20 batteries for $9. That's just crazy. I bought four and I felt so bad because my per battery cost was so high, but I didn't need eight batteries. I only needed four. And I thought, okay, these other four are going to get lost by my daughter. I will leave them in my truck. They'll roll around on the floor. Who knows what's going to happen to them? But I did. I know rationally that I made a decent choice, but I still felt bad because I paid so much more per battery.
Yeah, I think there's also like a little like parable or something about like a guy in New York and finds a really good deal on an elephant. And it's like, what's he going to do with an elephant? Like, doesn't matter. Like it has to be a really, really good deal on an elephant for someone in a New York City apartment to buy an elephant. Right.
I saw this little cartoon where this guy comes home with all of the stuff he doesn't need. And his wife's asking him, well, why did you buy all these things? And they were all on super sale. And she said, we can't afford to keep saving so much money.
Yeah. There's one other example. So Dan Ariely famously talks about this. This is another, this one's kind of funny. It's got a punchline, but, and it's a true one too, where they took pictures of two good looking guys. And then they called him Tom. One was Tom and one was Jerry. And I don't think they were real guys, but they were just like CGI guys. And they were asking the women to rate them on attractiveness. But then what they did is, so they had Tom, and then they did a slightly uglier version of Tom in the middle, and then they did Jerry. And when they did that, most of the women thought Tom was the most attractive of the three. So when there's a slightly uglier version of Tom there, Tom is the most attractive. And then they switched it and they did a slightly uglier version of Jerry in the middle. And then everyone chose Jerry. So this is an example of this decoy effect where if you've got a, like that middle option that no one's choosing was swaying whether the women thought that the Tom was more attractive or the, and they didn't even know that they were being manipulated in any way. So the punchline is that when you go to a, next time you go to a bar, you need to make sure there's a slightly uglier version of you there.
If you have an uglier brother, make him your wingman.
Yeah. I don't know if you see that with women ever. They have a slightly uglier version of them, and it's a symbiotic relationship.
Men are so much more discerning. Okay, maybe not.
When you first started with that story, I thought you were going to say they put their earnings per year on the pictures, and then they chose the guy who was more attractive who made more money. That's where I thought that was going.
Oh, yeah. That would be an interesting experiment to do.
Well, I do know, like, in real estate and other deals where you're trying to provide offers, one of the things that you can do is provide three options. Mm-hmm. One of them's really bad, mm-hmm. and either one of the others have to be at minimum acceptable to you, and you make the one that's best for you the most attractive. And one of the ways you can do that is make the second offer, the one in the middle that you don't like, most like the one you want them to do, but it's a worse version.
Yeah.
And they would never pick it.
Yeah.
And just because they go, that's terrible, and then they can see the other one. Like, that's one
that's
of the ways.
That's the decoy effect in use, yeah. So I want to shift gears here and talk about, like, I wonder if there's ways that you can leverage this decoy effect in your life for good. And then the lenses that we're going to look through is for meaningful happiness and for time freedom. So AI has come up with some things, and we can just read through and see what we think of them. So when planning a group activity, offer option A, watch a movie at home. Option B, go bowling. Option C, go to a theme park. Even if you want them to pick option B, having C as the decoy makes it feel like the middle ground value option. This doesn't make sense for me. I don't see, like, which what's the dummy option there? I don't see a dummy option there. I think ChatGPT failed on this one.
I don't know what it's talking about for the theme park, but I do know at restaurants, they will offer, one of the reasons that middle to high-end restaurants will have some extreme option, like their lobster tail and giant mm-hmm. steak for $95.
Yeah.
Is so that more people will pick the $50 T-bone over the $20 cube steak or whatever. Like, they don't sell very many of those,
yeah.
but that's not the point. They don't have a ton in the fridge. It's because they want people to pick the T-bone over the chop steak or the
There you go. So, steak. Yeah, so then that is the dummy option is, like, way overpriced.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then if somebody does pick that one, that's still okay,
Yeah, they
too.
Still win.
That's an interesting way to use it. So, yeah, I think, this one, like, watch a movie, go bowling, or go to a theme park. They should have had one, like, throw up or something. Like, everyone throws up. That's, like, the dummy option.
Is the dummy option supposed to be go to the theme park?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. Yeah. For a family decision, frame shared experiences with three options. Stay in, free. Dinner out, $30. Weekend trip, $300. The trip makes dinner feel worth it, nudging action and quality time. I think ChatGPT is having a hard time understanding the, decoy option.
To me, it would seem more like a disappointment to then just go out to eat if you could do a weekend away, right?
We could gone to the theme park, but
I guess we'll go bowling.
Yeah,
going bowling. I thought the third option was going to be like bowling that has a movie screen that you're watching a movie while you're bowling.
Hey, have you seen that new movie theater experience? I can't remember what it's called, but I was watching a video the other day, and they were watching The Matrix at this immersive theater where it, like, it wraps all around you, and it's, like, it still has a screen, but then everywhere around it is the screen also.
Really?
So, like, in The Matrix, when they're shooting Neo and he's, like, dodging the bullets, it's like the bullets are coming past
Whoa.
The audience members. I mean, it was really, really cool.
Where is it at?
He didn't say.
Oh.
I wonder he if said this the name like, of the theater, but he didn't say what town, and I can't remember what it was called, but some new kind of...
There's a bunch of experiences coming out like that. Like, there's one in Salt Lake City, but you can't, like, you have to, like, get invited to it. It's, like, one of the major motion studios that, like, and it's, like, this immersive experience where my friend went there, and, like, they had to, like, walk by they were walking on this trail that had lava next to it, and it like literally had the heat and the smell of the lava next to it. It was crazy. He said cool. He could feel. So I think those kinds of experiences are starting to come, and they're interesting.
Do you think they're doing those sorts of things to compete? Because at home, people can have a 70-some-inch TV and surround sound music and all of the stuff. And so now you have to compete. I remember hearing stories from my parents about going to the movies as kids. And, you know, it was 50 cents and you got popcorn and a drink and an entrance, like something crazy like that. And you watch some of those movies now and they're like really slow and they're black and white, which doesn't, I'm not opposed to black and white, but the experience isn't as full. But not. Compared to what they were used to, that was this incredible experience. Well, now we have incredible experiences at home, so they have to keep ramping it up.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our kids are probably going to ask us questions. Our grandkids are going to ask us questions about, you did what?
Yeah. My kids, they like want to go to the movies, but like the last three times I've taken them to the movie, they're like, they get 30, 40 minutes in and they're like, can we go?
It's just a screen in a room?
Yeah.
That's it?
They're like, yeah, it was cool, but like, I'm done. Like,
yeah, but I think, we have comfortable chairs now. You should have seen the chairs we had to sit in as kids.
I think they're just used to scrolling TikTok, and it's just instant gratification.
Yeah, and it's a constant new experience, right? So like a movie, you really got to, you know, it's 2 hours long, single narrative, you know. It's like, okay, give me the movie in 30 seconds, and then I'll go to the next one.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy. Okay, so I don't know that, like, how could you use a dummy option in your life?
To trick yourself?
Like, or maybe, like, loved ones or something into doing something good. Like, I wonder if there's a way that you could do this, like maybe you give yourself an option of, like, if you want to go, like, run a mile, like, you give yourself an option of, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I can run a mile carrying weights. I can run a mile without carrying weights, or I can sit on my couch. I might be more apt to at least say, well, sitting on the couch is a dumb idea, but compared to these two, I definitely don't want to carry the weights, you know, whatever it is. I mean, that's kind of a silly example, but it at least gives you the comparison and, you know, this one's better than that. That would just be not fun at all. And maybe I would trick myself into going.
Did you ask ChatGPT?
Yeah. These were the options it gave me. So that's why it probably failed. For time freedom, it says productize your offers using three tiers, basic, standard, premium. Yeah. Use a middle ground decoy. Build habits using decoys. Want to run 1 mile per day? Give yourself these options. Run 1 mile, run 5 miles, or skip. The 5 mile option becomes the decoy, making 1 mile feel manageable.
Now I'm starting to think ChatGPT is reading my mind.
Yeah. Use it to design your own workflows. Option A, build new content. Option B, review and optimize old content. Option C, redesign your brand from scratch. So that seems like a heavy lift. So that C is the dummy option.
Partially personality driven.
Yeah.
If you're a burn it down and start over kind of guy, that might be the one that you want.
I think this applies to business pretty well. Like if you're presenting something, you should always try to present a dummy option that makes the one that you want feel good. That makes sense. I'll have to think about it more on if there's ways to
leverage this for good. Is it possible to do it to yourself? Like, does it lose its effectiveness if you're aware of it, you know, or you're the one in charge of it?
Little bit, but it actually, like when I was working with the behavioral scientists, they all said, even when you know these things, it still affects you. So like, think of like, here's a good example, like visual effects. Like, people show me these two tables. It's like, hey, which table's longer, right? I've seen enough of these that I know that table A is longer than table B, but I still see the visual illusion. Like if I'm not concentrating, like I'm like, okay, you're trying to trick me here, right? So like it's all about when you're in that unconscious trying to make a decision state, you know, even when you know you're being tricked, you still see or experience the effects of it. So I think basically what I'm trying to get at is I think there's probably ways that even though you know you're tricking yourself, you can create scenarios that when you later are in that unconscious thought pattern, you'll just naturally gravitate towards the better decision. So I don't know. I'll have to think about it a little bit more, but
I can think about it for if I'm at home and I know that my willpower fades about 7 p.m. and that's when I look for snacks that are less healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if in my house I have two healthy snacks and one of them's yucky and one of them tastes bad and it's just like it's healthy, but
yeah,
it's something. Well, then instead of going for the really bad stuff, I might feel good about eating the healthy snack because I'm not eating nothing and I'm not eating the garbage, but I'm eating something and I feel good that I'm, I don't know, maybe something like that where you set up scenarios so that when your subconscious or your, I'm not thinking about it clearly, like when your willpower is low, you've already stacked the deck for you instead of against you.
Honestly, I think that could work. I think it could also work with time management. So like, maybe like, cause I've been thinking about how I can better block off my time and make the defaults of this is what I'm doing during this time. Right. I wonder if you could say, okay, during this block of time, I'm going to do A, B, or C. These are the three things. Like if I'm feeling really good, I'm going to run, this is going to be a 10 mile day. If I'm, or it's, I don't think skip was a good one that it said. I think I should at least do a mile or 2 miles or 10. And then like maybe I sometimes do the 10 or maybe five, right? Sometimes I do force myself to do the five, right? Like, but still sometimes I think, I don't know, like this morning, I did some mental gymnastics. So I was getting in the shower and I was like, okay, I've got to start doing this cold shower thing, right? And so like I got in, I doing the cold shower and it was brutal. And then I realized that I'd read somewhere that you actually don't want to do cold showers after you work out because you want the inflammation from the like the muscle buildup. So I was able to get myself out. I was like, oh yes, I can turn it to hot. So I turned it to hot right away. I'm like, yes, it's after my workout. So like, I did those mental gymnastics.
Tell me why, give me a good excuse for not taking a cold shower after workout.
Yeah.
I told you that.
Yeah.
That was good use.
ChatGPT in my mind. But yeah, so I think, but I honestly, I think there's probably ways that you could create some choice architecture in your life where you give yourself three options that you probably want to do, but like make one, the one that's ideal is probably run 2 miles. But then sometimes I still am like, oh, I'll just do a mile today. But if you give yourself an option that I have to potentially run 5 miles and some days you actually do that, then it might make it real to you and you'd be like, okay, 2 miles isn't so bad.
I think there's probably lots of ways to involve the choice architecture for yourself. But the problem, one of the problems I would see with creating the choice architecture for yourself is you always have the choice of not doing any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe doing nothing is good to have as one of the options because then you're not just, you know what I mean? At least you're acknowledging the fact that sitting on the couch is an option.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't want to really do that. So I want to give myself two other options that are closer together, but I'll avoid the really bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could do like combo options too. You could be like, if I run 5 miles, then I get to eat these potato chips or something that I really love. If I run 1 mile, then I get to eat this kind of like mediocre snack. And if I don't run, then I have to eat like vegetables or something like that, you know? Yeah.
I like it.
Cool. Well, that's it for today. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.